Holy Gospel is found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. This will serve as the basis for our meditation this evening. They left the synagogue and went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was lying in bed, sick with a fever. Without delay, they told Jesus about her. He went to her, took her by the hand, and raised her up. The fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, when the sun had set, the people kept bringing to him all who were sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. He healed many people who were sick with various diseases and drove out many demons, but he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew who he was. Jesus got up early in the morning while it was still dark and went out. He withdrew to a solitary place and was praying there. Simon and his companions searched for him, and when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let's go somewhere else, to the neighboring villages, so that I can preach there too. In fact, that is why I have come." Then he went throughout the whole region of Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Store shelves festooned with pink and red and purple. Right in your face, you go to Walmart. It's like, boom, it's like right there. Boxes and bags of candy, especially chocolate, almost all in the shape of hearts. Stuffed animals holding hearts with cute messages on them. Row upon row of cards to be shared with your spouse, your kids, your significant other, your friends, your classmates, your coworkers. Hearts and messages and gifts of every kind. Why? 1 week from Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. Valentine's Day. The holiday when we're all supposed to show one another how much we care, or how much we love them, or how much we at least sort of kind of like, maybe kind of tolerate them. Stores and restaurants and online merchants are offering all kinds of deals heading into that to help you show that you care. Couples and families and kids look for unique ways to show they care. Such things are nice in the moment. They can be cute. They can be fun. Maybe even occasionally they can even be meaningful on Valentine's Day. Yet caring for another person, whether that's your spouse or your significant other, or your kids, or your friends, requires more than just one day of the year. How do you know that someone cares? How do you show someone that you care? Now, an author by the name of Gary Chapman, he's done a series of books, and he tried to summarize the ways that we care into 5 love languages. Right now, I have 3 different premarital classes going on, so we're talking a lot about this right now. And there's 5, he calls them 5 love languages. One is encouraging words, where comments, the words that I use are meant to build up, to be constructive. They're for the person I care about. My words support them verbally. Encouraging words. Another one is acts of service. I help the person I care about with different tasks. I do something for them that helps reduce their workload or a burden or ease their stress. A third is receiving gifts. I give thoughtful gifts to the person I care about. I put a lot of thought into it. I just don't like go to the aisle, the card aisle, and just go, "Oh, that's a funny one. Okay, I'll give that one." You know, it's like actually thinking it through or putting thought into the gift. And these gifts tell that loved one how much I care. The fourth, so we've got encouraging words. We've got acts of service, receiving gifts. A fourth is quality time. I spend meaningful time with the person I care about. I actually give them my attention, even, this might be the hard one, setting aside my phone, turning it off, or silencing it, and ignoring it. Setting aside distractions, which is hard, so we can actually be with each other, so we can actually spend time with each other. It's quality time. And the last one is called meaningful touch, where I sit near the person I care about, or hold my wife's hand or something, or give a loved one a hug, something like that. Basically, and we could probably come up with more ways that we do this, or more ways that we show that we care, that we love. But the point is that if we truly care about someone, we will show that care, not just in words, but in action too. During these Epiphany weeks, Jesus has been helping us to know him, know who he is. He's been revealing a little bit here, a little bit there, more and more about himself. We've seen his divinity. We've seen the mission that he has. We've seen how he has absolute authority. We've seen his power. We've seen his wisdom. But even as we follow Jesus, wherever it might be, throughout this Epiphany journey, one characteristic of Jesus just shines through it all. We've seen that Jesus is the Savior who cares. So where do we find Jesus this evening? You can just imagine Jesus and his disciples, especially James and John, Simon and Andrew, kind of there too, some of the others, and they're following Jesus out of the synagogue on Sabbath, right where we left off last week. Jesus had preached with great authority there. He had cast a demon out of a man who challenged him. Jesus had shown he was truly the Son of God. But now what? Everyone's heading home from the synagogue. The people streaming out of the synagogue, they're trying to wrap their minds around what they've just seen and heard, what they've witnessed in worship, this teaching with authority that even the demons obey it. So word's spreading fast, but in the meantime, Jesus and his disciples, they've been invited over to the home of Simon Peter and his family. His brother Andrew, his wife, and his mother-in-law are there. It's Sabbath dinner. This is usually the nicest meal of the week. Best food, most food, and it's the Sabbath is coming to a close, so it's a celebratory meal together. Perhaps Jesus is hoping maybe for a little bit of rest, kind of away from the crowds before things start to get really busy, being all-knowing God, he knows what's coming. Yet when they arrive at the house, there's a problem. Simon and his family, they're wondering if the Sabbath dinner can even happen. You see, Simon's mother-in-law is sick. She has a fever of some kind, and it's not good. Things look pretty serious, actually. And so Simon reaches Jesus before he even gets to the house, and he says, Lord, can you help mom? Jesus saw the need, so what does he do? Does he pat them on the head with platitudes? She'll get better soon. Does he grumble about it? All right, fine. Get a little hangry in there too, you know. Does he turn his back on them to find dinner somewhere else? No. Jesus cares about mom, and not just because he's hungry. Without a second thought, Jesus goes into her, goes to the room where she's at, takes her by the hand, and raises her up from her sickbed. Jesus is not afraid to take hold, physically take hold of the sick or the unclean. He doesn't recoil, but he cares through touch. Mark simply tells us that the fever left her, and remarkably, she began to serve them. Like, right then and there, she was feeling better, and okay, it's time to make dinner. Mom was healed, and she made sure that Sabbath dinner was on. That Sabbath rest was short-lived, though, because as the sun goes down and the Sabbath comes to an end, people start leaving their homes. They start making their way over to the home of Simon Peter, knocking on the door. In that small seaside town, everyone knew where Jesus had spent the Sabbath. There was no denying it. And over their own Sabbath dinners, they had all started making plans, you know. If we eat quick, as soon as the sun is down, we get over there to Simon's house, Jesus can help whichever relative happened to be sick. Like today, so many of them were hurting. People or their loved ones were suffering from illnesses, from diseases, some even possessed by demons. Some were struggling. They were broken. Many were simply broken, and yet they all knew that Jesus of Nazareth could do something about whatever ailment they had. So they came to Jesus with whatever ailed them. You know, maybe someone came to Jesus with the sniffles. I don't know. And someone brought, you know, their cousin Bob, who was possessed by 700 demons. I don't know. Many brought these sick loved ones to Jesus, and the people kept bringing them to him, all who were sick and demon-possessed. I mean, just imagine the scene. Jesus has barely gotten his Sabbath dinner done, and as the sun goes down, this friendly crowd is growing, and the limp, the hurting, the hopeless, the broken, the possessed, all pleading for help, all pleading for rescue. So many people are coming to Simon's home to have Jesus heal them. He couldn't even step out of the house. He's practically standing there in the doorway. As he stands there in the doorway, Jesus looks out and he sees all this need. And so what does he do? It'd be very tempting to just slam the door in their face and walk away. Does he tell them to go home? Does he resign himself to a long night of work? All right, fine. Toiling away at healing all these broken people who are trying to get his attention and help. No. Jesus cares about the sick. Jesus cares about the hurting. Jesus cares about the broken. Jesus cares about the possessed. Mark simply tells us that without a second thought or concern for himself, Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases and drove out many demons. He showed mercy. He showed love. He showed that he cared, and the people praised him for his powerful help. But all those demons he cast out, Jesus had no care for them. No kindness or love reserved for them. They were not allowed to speak. They knew who this Jesus was, and they would love to discredit this Jesus, but Jesus wasn't there for them. But for all those hurting souls milling about outside of Peter's home. You can imagine Jesus going to bed late that night, exhausted, but it wasn't time for him to rest. It was time for prayer. Time spent with his heavenly Father, so Jesus got up early in the morning while it was still dark. He went out and he withdrew to a solitary place and was praying there. Ministry was about to get a whole lot busier. After all, Jesus had come to heal and rescue a broken world full of hurting, broken sinners, and he couldn't just stay there in Capernaum. When Simon and the other disciples went searching for Jesus, he surprised them. They expected Jesus to hunker down, maybe make a headquarters out of Peter's house, and just let all the people from all over just come to him. Instead, he tells them, let's go somewhere else, to the neighboring villages, so that I can preach there too. In fact, that is why I have come. Jesus didn't come to be a healer or a miracle worker. That would have been easy. Instead, Jesus had more important work to do. Jesus cared for the people of Capernaum. That's most certainly true. But he also cared for every other soul in this broken world. So Jesus, he did exactly that. He didn't just go to the neighboring villages. He went throughout the whole region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. 3 more years of busyness would follow. Countless thousands, tens of thousands of people would flock to Jesus. The leper, the possessed, the blind, the deaf, the hungry, the paralyzed, the grieving, the hurting, the hostile, the self-righteous, the guilty, the broken, and Jesus would care for every single one of them. Yeah, he would heal and help them, but more importantly, he would share with them good news. Good news of sins forgiven, good news of life and peace with God restored, of heaven open. He would care for each and every sinful soul, not just point of exhaustion, but even to the point of death. That care, that love of that Savior would take Jesus to suffering and death on a cross. That care, that love of the Savior would take him to a borrowed tomb and ultimately to a resurrection victory over death. In all his caring for those hurting, broken people, we dare not lose sight. Jesus loves and cares for you too, and for me. He cares for us. He cares for you. He cares for me. He shows that love and care every day. How does Jesus show his love and care for you? He cares for us in our sicknesses and our illnesses. While we do not see his healing hand, isn't it true that we know that he works through medicine in the unique way he has designed our bodies? Jesus cares for us in our weaknesses. He helps us when we struggle. He defends us in the face of temptation. He guides all things for our good. He restores our souls, and above all, he forgives us. He even dries our tears of grief and pain. How does Jesus show his care for you? He cares for you in times of trouble. He cares for you in your brokenness, in your pain, in your fear, in your uncertainty. He cares for your soul. Yes, Jesus knows your sin. He knows your guilt. He knows how selfish and self-centered and self-righteous you've been. He knows the sins in my own heart. He knows how you have failed him, how we have disobeyed his will. He even knows, he knows everything about us. And you know in your heart, and so do I, in my own, that Jesus should just slam the door on us. Say, go home. Leave me alone. They should be disappointed with us and even condemn us to an eternity in hell. And yet Jesus knows you need him. You need his love. You need his care for your soul. He cares that your sins are forgiven, that he has done away with your guilt, that he has conquered the death and hell you deserve, and that he has opened heaven for you too. Like those countless souls in Galilee, Jesus cares for your soul and the souls of everyone around you, the people you like, the people you don't, the people who are like you and look like you, and the people who don't. Time and again, your Savior has shown his love and care for you and me. And so we care too. How do you respond to someone who shows you that they care about you? You respond with genuine, heartfelt thanks and love. You respond with words and actions. You share that love with others. It's not forced. It flows from a grateful heart filled with love and thanksgiving. A couple weeks ago, we heard about that. Christ's love compels us. It moves us. It doesn't force us. It moves us to serve him, to live for him, and not for ourselves any longer. And because we have a Savior who cares so much for us, we care for others. We care for the people we like, but we also care for the people we don't. We care for the people who are like us and who look like us, and we care for the people who don't. We care about their physical needs, but above all, we care for their souls too. We want them to enjoy the same love from Jesus that we enjoy. Friends, how do you know that Jesus cares for you? See where he's gone for you. See what he's done for you. See what he sacrificed and won for you. When you know that, you'll live to love him. You'll live to care for all the people he loves too, and the key people he brings into your life, across your path. And so we pray. Lord, bless us with your care and help us to care like you. Amen.